It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to KRFC Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Community at Work. Good evening and welcome to Community at Work, a weekly program here on KRFC that provides a closer look at the public agencies that serve you. This half-hour show offers insights into the issues affecting our community and highlights some of the programs and services provided by local agencies and organizations. And the Health District is one of three rotating hosts for Community at Work. The Health District is a public agency that provides residents of Northern Larimer County with dental, mental health, preventive health, and advanced care planning services, in addition to connecting people to more affordable health insurance and prescription options. And we host Community at Work on the first and third Thursday of every month. I'm Richard Cox, Communications Director for the Health District, and today is February 1st, and that means it's American Heart Month. And if it's American Heart Month, it probably means that we're going to have Sherry Nichols on our show again. And Sherry Nichols is a longtime guest on Community Work, and she's a longtime employee of the Health District, where she is the clinical nurse manager of the cholesterol and blood pressure testing program. She's often here to talk about cholesterol, and that is one of the important services. Cholesterol testing is one of the important services that the Health District does. But she and her crew also monitor blood pressure for people. So welcome, Sherry.
Thank you, Richard.
And one of the reasons you're here tonight is to talk about some new guidelines that have come out about blood pressure.
Right. Guidelines get people's attention.
Yeah.
New guidelines.
Right. Am I doing good? Am I doing bad? Am I in between? So let's start with the basics here. What exactly is blood pressure?
Well, blood pressure is – there's two numbers. The systolic pressure is the top number. And that is actually a measurement of the pressure in the arteries when the heart is beating. So it's the maximum pressure. It changes a little more than the diastolic pressure, which is the bottom number. The systolic pressure tends to be a little more reactive. So it acts a little bit more like the heart rate. Anything that'll raise your heart rate will tend to raise that systolic pressure, at least temporarily. So the diastolic pressure is the bottom number, and it's actually the resting pressure. So it's the pressure in between heartbeats. That's it. That's the basics.
That seems pretty straightforward.
And basically, it's a reflection of the workload on the heart.
Yeah.
So how hard does the heart have to work? How much pressure does it have to push against, because your heart's a pump, and every time it beats, it's circulating your entire blood supply. So there's pressure that causes that blood to move through all the blood vessels. And so it's just kind of a gauge of the workload on the heart.
Okay. Well, and if those numbers are high, that would be high blood pressure or
right.
hypertension, is it?
It's hypertension if your blood pressure tends to run high most of the time.
Okay.
So, I think one of the most important things that I love to tell people when I'm checking their blood pressure is that it's normal for it to change, because people seem surprised sometimes when, I'll get a reading that's higher than what they remember is their typical blood pressure. So that's my time to let people know it's always changing. It's always fluctuating, and that's really its job, mm-hmm. is to adjust. And so, the other thing I like to tell people is that we don't feel that happening. We can't tell when our blood pressure is adjusting. But the truth is that's always going on. It's just, responding to the needs of our body, and those needs are dynamic, meaning they change.
And if it runs a little higher than it should,
means your heart's working harder
more often than it should.
Right.
What are the reasons that might be happening? What are the kind of the risk factors for high blood pressure?
So there are some risk factors that we cannot change. We call those non-modifiable, and there are things like family history, age, gender, race. African Americans have a higher incidence of blood pressure. And then chronic kidney disease. The kidneys are very involved in blood pressure regulation. So kidney disease has a big effect on blood pressure. But then there's a whole set of modifiable risk factors. So these are the ones that we can have an impact on. They are physical activity. Diet, so nutrition, you know, especially diets that are high in sodium would be a risk factor. Being overweight or obese, drinking too much alcohol, sleep apnea, high cholesterol, diabetes, smoking and tobacco use, and stress. So all of those are risk factors that we hopefully can have an impact on to try to reduce our blood pressure or manage our blood pressure.
And it seems like a lot of those, if you modify those, that'll help you in a lot of different ways, not just
exactly.
Blood pressure.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, one of the things that we know in the heart health screening business is that, you know, all these risk factors, they tend to be found on all the lists, risk factors for diabetes, for stroke, heart disease, even the risk factors for hypertension, they're all related. So these are what they call the lifestyle risk factors and the risk factors that we can try to improve.
Mm. And if you don't change any of those things, whether you can't change the non-modifiable ones, and you have high blood pressure and it continues over time, and you don't do anything about it, what happens? What's the upshot of that?
Well, first of all, like I said, you know, the heart has to work harder when your pressure is high, so it's pumping and it's beating and it's pushing that blood through against more pressure. So that makes the heart have to work harder. But the other thing that happens that may not seem as obvious to people is that minute changes happen in the endothelium, which is just the lining of the blood vessels. So everywhere in your body, your endothelium or your blood vessel lining can be damaged, and that can lead to inflammation and plaque formation, and all. It's kind of a cascade of events that happen in our cardiovascular system. So if we keep the pressure down, and basically what the new guidelines are saying, and I'll get to them a little bit more in a minute, is that lower is better. So if you can manage your blood pressure and keep it down, then all that whole cardiovascular system, the heart and the blood vessels, don't tend to have that damage.
Yeah, so we keep talking about these guidelines and these numbers. Give us the numbers. What are those guidelines? What is too high? What is low? What is sort of on the cusp?
Okay, so I guess I want to say a couple things about guidelines in general. Sometimes people get frustrated when guidelines change, and they say, why did they change? Why do they keep changing the guidelines? And really, the guidelines change when there's enough science that is demonstrating that we've learned something new. And so, you know, we pass that on to doctors. Guidelines are really meant to help guide doctors' treatment discussions and decisions with patients. So, they give doctors the newest information and say, okay, here's what we've learned and here's what we recommend that you, tell your patients and they also guide prescribing. So the new guidelines, there is some terminology that changed. And so now normal is still under 120 over 80. And that's kind of a common understanding of people. They think, okay, 120 over 80, that's what I want. And that's still the case. One thing that they changed was what was called borderline hypertension or pre-hypertension is now called elevated hypertension, but it's a smaller category. So instead of the borderline or the elevated blood pressure being 120 to 140 over 80 to 90, now they're calling elevated blood pressure 120 to 129. So there's a smaller window where they're saying, okay, you're at risk for high blood pressure and you're in that category right now. So that would be 120 to 129 over less than 80. And keep in mind also, as I explain these categories, that we're really looking for the average of a number of readings. You can't just go and get one reading of, 140 over 90 or 140 over 80, and then all of a sudden you've got high blood pressure. It's got to be, you've got to base that on more than one reading. And that goes back to what I explained before about
changing.
How blood pressure changes, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to get kind of an average, a sampling, I like to say. Okay, so we talked about elevated. The the next category is hypertension stage 1, and that is 130 to 139 over 80 to 89. So this is new. High blood pressure has never been considered to be, 130. So that's a definite change. I'll talk a little bit more in a minute about kind of what else goes into, what do you do with the guidelines? What's the treatment or the follow-up that comes from these classifications? But I want to let you know that the second third change in terminology is now hypertension stage 2, and that's over 140 over 90. So that's what people have always thought of as high blood pressure, but now that's called stage 2 hypertension. So when we talk about guidelines, first we get our classification. Then, we come to the part where the doctors are getting these recommendations, and they have to do with medication prescriptions, but other prescriptions as well. Like in that elevated stage, as well as hypertension stage 1, and actually for every person, but, including those two stages, lifestyle recommendations, healthy lifestyle are the first recommendations made, always. So, before your doctor is going to say, hey, I think you should be considering medication, they're going to be talking to you about lifestyle, or they should. And then in stage 1 hypertension and then also stage 2 hypertension, they factor in risk. So they're going to look at those risk factors. And they actually – another change is that there's now a calculator. It's actually like an algorithm. You plug in all these numbers that have to do with risk, and then you get an actual score, and it's a very detailed score. It'll come in the form of a percentage. Those numbers are also factored in. So the higher your risk is, the sooner your doctor's going to add in the discussion about medications. So you could have high blood pressure, stage 1 in the 130s over 80s, but be very low risk, and your doctor's not going to be talking to you about medications, especially right off the bat. You're going to be monitoring and talking about lifestyle. So as the classification goes up and the risk goes up, that's when the doctors are guided to talk to you about meds.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
All right.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Community at Work on KRFC Fort Collins. I'm Richard Cox from the Health District of Northern Lumber County. We have on as a guest tonight Sherry Nichols. She is the clinical nurse manager for the cholesterol and blood pressure testing program at the Health District. And she's here because it's American Heart Month. And so it's a good time to remind people what they can do to find out if they are possibly at risk for heart disease and to
manage blood pressure.
Yeah, and what they can do about that. So,
yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about just the idea of us being able to empower ourselves to take charge of our own blood pressure. I think that people sometimes are desensitized a little bit about blood pressure because partly they don't necessarily understand it, but also it's always different. Every time they go in the doctor's office, they get a different reading and the technique used to measure their blood pressure might change and the doctor may or may not be concerned. So I think it's really important for people to manage their own blood pressure, and we actually can do that pretty easily. So, as long as you know that it's normal for it to change and that, we don't feel that happening, if you embrace the idea that we can improve our own health, one of the first things to do is to know what your numbers are, to know your blood pressure. And you can do that by self-monitoring. So I can talk about that a little bit more later, but I want people to be thinking as we talk about blood pressure about the idea that this is one of the best things that you can do for your own health, is to just become aware and, initiate those discussions with your doctor yourself, because you're the one that's going to know what your blood pressure is most of the time. Your doctor only knows what it is at that moment you're in the doctor's office getting that reading. And, you know, there's a lot of people know and kind of chalk up the high blood pressure reading in the doctor's office to white coat hypertension. A lot of people think, oh, that's just because I'm in the doctor's office, I'm a little nervous, and so they expect it to be a little high. And oftentimes practitioners, you know, might also kind of chalk it up to that. So it's, you know, because you only have that one reading, that's again why it's important to record it. To check it yourself, record it, and bring those readings into your doctor. It's a much richer discussion when you have more data.
Right, right. So you made the point earlier on in the show that there are lifestyle factors that people can change,
right,
to keep their blood pressure in a healthy range. And so what are those lifestyle factors that people can focus on?
Lack of physical activity. Well, I'm just going to actually just mention the things that affect it. So I won't put it in a negative term, but physical activity. So this is something you can strive to have more of, and it will help your blood pressure and everything else in terms of your health. Diet, so nutrition. You want to avoid too much sodium in your diet. You want to have a lot of fruits and vegetables, low-fat dairy, fiber-rich foods also helps blood pressure. Staying at a healthy weight, not drinking too much alcohol, managing sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is also a modifiable risk factor. Huh. High cholesterol. People that have diabetes have a higher risk for high blood pressure, and high blood pressure increases risk for diabetes, so they're very connected. Smoking and tobacco use and stress.
Hmm. So let's say I'm being very dutiful and I've checked off all of those boxes. I'm exercising and eating healthy and just living a model life.
All right.
And my numbers are still a little on the high side. What then? Are there medications that can be sort of a fallback?
Yeah. And you know, it's a good point, because what you describe isn't that unusual. A lot of people do have a healthy lifestyle and work really hard at that. And we see a lot of them at our cholesterol and blood pressure clinics. But they might have, you know, that family history. They might have, you know, just physiological things going on in their body that cause their blood pressure to be high, no matter how healthy of a lifestyle they have. So if that's the case, you know, medications do a really good job of bringing down blood pressure. And at our clinics, we see a lot of folks that really are hoping to avoid medication. And, you know, we always, all the nurses at the health district clinics really encourage lifestyle management. And we, you know, we talk to folks about that, try to help people understand what to do. But we also know that, you know, like we said, despite best efforts, medications are sometimes needed to manage it. And it's worth it. It's really worth it to bring your blood pressure down. Like I said, lower is better, to a point, of course. It is possible to have too low a blood pressure if it's super low, like under, you know, typically under 90, over 60 might be considered to be too low for some people. But, you know, you really do want it under 120, over 80. And if it requires medications to do that, there are a lot of really safe medications that have been around a long time that have very few side effects, that are affordable, that are, you know, worth trying. And if you come into your doctor, if your doctor's talking to you about high blood pressure and, you know, you get some high readings in the office, if you can take charge and get a monitor and monitor your blood pressure, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Bring that record in and show your doctor. You know, if you discover that despite everything, your blood pressure is high, you can actually, you know, try like a small dose. Have that treatment discussion with your doctor. Try a small dose of something simple like a diuretic, and then keep monitoring. And you might find you have a really good response to that. You know, without having to take, you know, medications that give you side effects and cost a lot of money.
Mm.
A lot of the good medications are generic and very, very inexpensive. Not just the diuretics, but the ACE inhibitors and calcium channel blockers, and you know, there's a number of categories of them. But there are a lot of good choices. Oh, the other thing I want to mention about meds: many people do need more than one medication because These different classes of meds work in different ways. And so, you know, maybe you need a little help managing the fluid balance in your body, so a diuretic will help. But maybe you also need, some other an effect from a different classification of meds that brings it down in another way to really manage it. So it's very common for people to need two or three kinds of medications. And if that scares you, try not to be scared, because, you can have low doses of those meds and just kind of work with your doctor to discover, what's the combination of meds that will work for you. Many people take meds and don't have side effects.
It's not scarier than being put at risk of early death to something you can't even feel.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
The silent killer.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you're just tuning in, this is the Community at Work show on KRFC Fort Collins. I'm Richard Cox from the Health District, and we're talking with Sherry Nichols, a clinical nurse manager from the Health District, who her program essentially goes out into the community, and they monitor or they test people's cholesterol and blood pressure and let them know when they might be having something that needs to be checked out and given a little closer consideration. So I'd like to spend our last 10 minutes together here talking about what's involved in checking and monitoring blood mm-hmm. pressure, because you've really stressed that that's an important thing. What you've talked about, what the numbers mean and what to do about them, but we haven't focused a whole lot on that measurement thing. So how and where can people get their blood pressure checked up to and including the clinics you do around town?
Right. I'll mention that Health District offers free walk-in blood pressure checks at the Senior Center, which is on Raintree, kind of off Shields, the second Monday of every month from 10 till noon in the lobby. And if you do have a monitor and you wonder if you're using it correctly or is it accurate, you can bring that monitor in and we'll check it against our own readings and help you kind of get some confidence in your machine, but also in your technique. Technique is really important. So if you're going to self-monitor, which I hope you do, if you're concerned at all about this, a lot of people want to know, well, what about those grocery store machines? Do I need to own my own machine? The blood pressure monitors that you can purchase, you can get a really reliable, arm cuff. We recommend the arm cuff over the wrist cuff for accuracy. But you can get those for about $40 or so, either online or, at places like Target or, the discount stores in town. The grocery store machines are a good choice for many people. And I just want to say that if you go in and use one of the machines at the grocery store, try to use the same one instead of going from checking at one store one time and another store at another time. And that kind of, equalizes that variable. You need to sit for 5 minutes whenever you're getting your blood pressure checked by anybody. So whether you're checking it at home, checking it at the grocery store, having somebody check it at the doctor's office, resting 5 minutes in a seated position is really important.
Kind of rushing through that sort of defeats the purpose, I would think.
Well, it can be high. I said, if you're walking around the store, or you've just seated yourself in the doctor's office and the nurse comes in and checks you, you haven't had that chance to just kind of settle down a little bit. Let's see. You also want to make sure that you monitor or that you check it on a bare arm. Don't wrap the cuff at home or at the store, or even letting any, nurse or practitioner in the doctor's office, don't ever let anybody check it over your clothing. That can really add quite a bit of error to the reading. It's not as accurate a reading. So get your sleeve completely out of the way, even if you have to kind of pull your arm out of the sleeve, and take it on your bare arm. No talking during the reading. Mm. You want your feet flat on the floor with your legs uncrossed, and you want your arms supported at the heart level. And it's kind of naturally at that level if you're checking it at your arm, because, your heart's kind of right across from your upper arm. So, but you want it kind of resting on a table at that heart level. No caffeine, tobacco, or activity for 30 minutes before a reading. And if it's over 130 over 80, wait several minutes and then take it again. All these are things that you want to do, you know, no matter how or who or when you're getting your blood pressure checked. Here's a really important thing, and it goes back to my message about, you know, being in charge and taking charge of your own blood pressure. Wherever you're getting your blood pressure checked, whoever's doing it, record it in one place. So you get your own record, and you can actually get those from us at a cholesterol testing or a blood pressure check at the senior center. We'll give you a nice record, and if you put those readings all in one place, that's how you're going to find out, what's my average? You know, if you just get a reading here and a reading there and you're not kind of looking at them together, it's really hard to get a sense of what your average is. So that's the scoop. And then, you know, finally, just discuss it with your doctor. And if your blood pressure's high, don't wait for that annual physical to have that discussion. Make an appointment. You know, say, I've been monitoring my blood pressure. It's high. I need to talk to the doctor about it. And then just discuss those treatment options with an open mind. That's really one of our most important messages to people, no matter what your health concern. Have an open mind. Let your doctor learn from you what's important to you and what your values are and your hopes for your health, and then listen to them because they have expertise. And then in that conversation, you can have a shared decision, which is in which you both learn about, you know, what's important, and you know, the doctor can learn about you, but you can also educate them.
Is there a specific time of day that's better? I mean,
let's
say, like, you've just decided part of your morning routine is to do it first thing in the morning, or you're so busy during the day that you only can get around to doing it, you know, like after you get home from work at 6 or 7 o'clock.
Great question.
Yeah.
I get this question all the time. We like to recommend that people take it at different times of day and write down the time. So, and that again can provide clues as to what's going on, you know, during your normal routine. Some people actually have high blood pressure when they wake up. Many people have lower blood pressure when they wake up, but the only way you're going to know what your pattern is to check it at different times of day and then write all those readings down.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked a lot about blood pressure, but you also do cholesterol testing, right?
Yep.
At these clinics or
yep. Screenings.
Screening, checking opportunities.
Uh-huh.
And these are throughout the community, right? Various locations?
Yes. During Heart Month, we try to be all over the community. So we have locations all over town. We are filling up for sure. If you want an appointment, you know, we pretty much do need you to have an appointment. It's pretty rare that we could do a walk-in during Heart Month. We're very popular when we're free. So these screenings are free for health district residents. And if you call the health district front desk at 970-224-5209, you will get to talk to Carrie or Lisa, and they will tell you what appointments are available.
And you can also go on the health district website,
right.
I know, which is healthdistrict.org.
/heart.
Yeah, /heart. and even if you just go to the main website, you'll find it's prominently displayed, your clinics, because it's an important thing. Anyways, the whole February schedule, I believe, is up there now.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of a really rich source of information, are they not?
I mean, oh, yeah.
And it, about how long does it take?
They're 20-minute appointments. You come in and you do just a little bit of paperwork, sit down with the nurse. It's best if you can be fasting for 8 hours. We do really want people to be hydrated, so water's fine. In fact, we hope you have water in the morning. And you'll sit down with the nurse and get your cholesterol tested, get an explanation of your numbers. You get 2 copies of your results right then and there. You can ask questions. We love it when it's a conversation. We'll give you some tips and, referrals if that's appropriate. So
somebody has a really high number and like, hey, you need to go see a doctor right away.
We actually partner with Kendall Reagan Nutrition Center at CSU to give discounts to our patients for nutrition consultations. And then there's also some classes that are available. So we try to help those become more affordable for folks as well.
How about you give folks the phone number one more time if they want?
Sure. Yep. It's 970-224-5209. And we do have appointments available for some of the clinics and especially those later in the month.
Sherry.
One more thing.
Oh.
so first screening is free for anybody. So if you don't get an appointment for February, if you've never been checked with us, you will get your first screening for free in any other month.
Great.
So, thanks.
Well, thanks for coming on the show this evening. Sherry Nichols, Clinical Nurse Manager with the Cholesterol and Blood Pressure Testing Program at the Health District. And February is American Heart Month. Get your numbers checked. Know what your numbers mean. And that is about all the time we have for tonight. Please tune in next week when Denny LaRue will host Community at Work and discuss issues affecting Larimer County. The Health District will be back here in a couple of weeks with my other co-host, Julie Eslick. Coming up next here on KRFC's Critter Patter. Thanks for listening. We'll meet you back here in a couple of weeks.